Amen. We'll be in the book of Psalms, and we thank the Lord for his goodness. We was there yesterday in the book of Psalms, but I'm sure we haven't wore it out yet. Amen. And I thank God for it. There's no book in the Bible like the book of Psalms. I was talking to someone recently about the book of Psalms and how tremendous it is, and they said, I've never noticed any of that you just said. I said, that's tremendous. Amen. It's the largest book in the Bible. It's 150 chapters. That's tremendous in itself. Amen. It's got the largest chapter in the Bible. Chapter 119, it's 176 verses. That's tremendous in itself. Amen. All that chapter is broke up in 8-verse segments. And each segment is designated by a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. That's pretty unique itself. Amen. It's a unique book. Praise God. So many things in it, it's just unreal. Amen. The first chapter is just dynamite. If you want to be blessed, just obey the first chapter and you'll be a blessed person. It's the first book in the Bible that the Son of God's mentioned. Chapter 2. Matter of fact, it talks about the Son, talks about my only begotten Son. Out of chapter number two, it's quoted 3 times in the book of Revelation. The devil quoted it in chapter 4 in the book of Matthew. Tremendous book, amen. More of, I said this Sunday, more of Jesus saying on the cross in the book of Psalms anywhere else. Tremendous book. When we look down through it, it's just absolutely tremendous. I said yesterday, the historical writings in this book is tremendous. If Israel had read the book of Psalms, they'd have known they was going to go into Babylonian captivity. The psalmist was called a prophet. The Bible says David was a prophet. So he wrote prophetically in this book. Amen. See, the Bible said that they would hang their harps on the willows, and the Babylonians would say, sing us a song of Zion. They'd say, how can we sing a song of Zion in a strange land? And that was years, that was hundreds of years before they went into Babylonian captivity. There's so many things in Psalms. It is a tremendous book. But I'm going to preach tonight out of the most unusual chapter in the book. Chapter 49 in the book of Psalms. There's not another chapter in the Bible like this chapter. There's none else in the book of Psalms like this chapter. Amen. It's a very unique chapter. All the Psalms, if you read through them, they're directed in certain ways. Maybe it's directed about David's life, the battles he's in, conflicts, the prayers he's praying. It's sometimes telling us the history of Israel and God's dealing with them and how it's going to be. All the events of Moses crossing the Red Sea, all those things are in the book of Psalms. But chapter 49 is a unique chapter by itself. And everything about it is unique. Israel's not mentioned in this chapter. None of the historical things are mentioned in this chapter. David's not mentioned in this chapter. No other person is mentioned by name in this chapter. It's the only chapter in the Word of God that I know of that's addressed like this chapter is. So it's got to be very important. It's got to be very important, not just by its uniqueness, but the fact it's the Word of God. When God says something, it's important no matter where he says it at. But when God sets down in a book and puts in a chapter that's very unique compared to every other chapter in the book, then it becomes even more unique to us to listen to it. Amen. It's the only psalm that I know of that starts with this word, here. It starts with here. God has wanted us to hear. He uses that word numerous times. Jesus used it numerous times. He talked about he that has the ear, let him hear. In the book of Revelation to the two churches, it's used over and over. He wants them to hear. He wants them to hear. But this psalm begins with the word hear. And he says, hear this. So this psalm is very unique in itself. Let's pray and ask God to help us. You pray with me, and we're going to try to preach just for a little while. Amen. And then let Josh preach. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we're amazed at its perfection and how beautiful and how magnificent it is. Lord, you are so wonderful to give it to us. And I magnify you for it, exalt you for it. Help us tonight as we, Lord, endeavor to preach the Word of God, that the Holy Ghost would have liberty to send forth the Word of God to hearers and to ears and hearts and men and women, Lord, that would listen. And we'll praise you for what you do and accomplish, Lord, your work as you want it to be done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The psalm begins, hear this. A lot of things God could say, but God says exactly what he wants to say, amen. Hear this, all ye people. The word people is a unique word in itself because it designates nations, tongues, dialects, tribes. The word people is used a number of times in prophecy and in the book of Revelation, talking about all the people of the earth. But he designates it more so. He says, also give ear. That is, not just hear, but pay close attention. That's listen very carefully. Notice what I'm saying. Not just hear it, the noise of it, but give ear. That means you have given your attention to it. You're giving importance to what you're listening to. Amen. And then he says, all ye inhabitants of the world. No other place does he ever do that. Now, there's other places that we certainly see that, but we don't see it addressed that way exactly anywhere else. We do know that every verse in the Word of God is given by inspiration, and God inspired it, and God gave it to us, and it's proper for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness. It is everything we need. But here God specifically is saying, hear this, all ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world. God said, I want everybody in the world to hear this. Amen. If God wants everybody in the world to hear it, everybody in the world ought to hear it, amen. If God wants everybody in the world to hear it, amen, and you're sitting here today, you ought to certainly want to hear it, amen. And then he does more than just address it to the populace of the world. He begins to address the people and the type of people that's in the world, both low and high. Somebody that's very important. Somebody's not even noticed. He wants them to hear the same thing. He wants Bill Gates to hear this. He wants Elon Musk to hear this. Amen. But he wants the person who picks up the garbage here in town to hear this. And he's not given this to kings. He has written verses that specifically to kings. He's written verses in the Word of God that's specifically to the rich. He's written words in the Word of God that's specifically to those in power. He's written words in the Word of God specifically to preachers and to men of God and to churches and all those things. But here he says, I want everybody to hear this. I want everyone to give ear to this. I want all the inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor, together. In these verses, there is no dividing who hears what. Everyone is to hear what God is saying in these verses. Amen. That's what the book says. I know of no other place, some of you might, but I know of no other place in the Word of God, and especially in the book of Psalms, that's even close to being like this. And then he says, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline my ear to a parable. I will open my dark sayings upon the harp. I want you to know that no matter how God says it, you're to listen. All the Psalms were sung to Hebrew music. We still sing Psalms. The law of the Lord is perfect, Converting the soul. We sing the Psalms. Matter of fact, in the Word of God, in the epistles, he tells us to sing Psalms. So it doesn't matter how God delivers this to you, God wants you to get what it says. If he speaks to you of this in a parable, he wants you to get it. If he sends this to you in a song, he wants you to get it. Amen. And he wants everyone on the earth to get it, and he wants every poor person to get it, every rich person to get it, every high person and every low person to get it. He wants no one excluded from getting what he's saying. I don't know of any other place in the Bible you have a chapter like this. Do you, Brother John? I don't know of any other. I know we could take other chapters in the Bible and make the same application. We could do it all over the Word of God. But here specifically, this is what he says. Is that right, Pastor? That's what he says. And he says, if I bring it to you in a parable, if I bring it to you some dark saying upon the harp, however I get it to you, get it, amen. Hey, I like what I heard sung a while ago. I like a song that makes me want to praise God and worship the Lord and exalt his name. Think about what he's done for me in saving my soul. Think what is ahead for me when he comes to get me. Amen. Praise God. And to look ahead and thank God for everything that he's done for me. Amen. And then I like songs that make me think about what he can do for somebody else. I've heard songs sung and brought to my heart praying for somebody that was lost and needed to get saved. Amen. But in this particular chapter, he's fully outlined the need for everybody to hear what he's got to say. Then we read this verse. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? Now, I know that heels word throws us off course, but it actually simply means sin that's lying in wait to take a hold of us. Iniquity that's hiding to get a hold of us somewhere. That word heels means to lie in wait, to be an enemy of, to be ready to attack you from behind, amen, and take advantage of you. You better realize God knows that every one of us are under attack. But God also knows if you're trusting him, you don't have to fear all this stuff, amen. They say they're going to riot. I'm not afraid of that riot. Say they're going to burn places. I don't care if they burn places, amen. Then they're going to throw a fit. Let them throw a fit. Amen. God says we don't have to worry about all the things in this stinking nasty world. We don't have to be concerned about everything that's going on. We don't have to be concerned about every issue. I'm going to tell you, I hope the Republicans take the House and the Senate by storm, and I hope we get an elected president that's got a whole lot more sense of what we got. But if every one of them is like Nancy Pelosi, I'll go to bed, lay my head on my pillow, and say, glory to God, amen. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm going to heaven when I die. Jesus might come in a minute, amen. We worry too much. We fret too much. And God says, look, I know that iniquity lies at your heels. I understand all that, but you don't have to be afraid. Amen, amen. And then he said, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. There is a lot of them around, amen. Some people can't sleep because of Hunter Biden and how much money he got out of China, amen, and out of the Ukraine and out of Russia, amen. You know, I've never lost one wink of sleep over Hunter Biden. Amen. If they send him 4 or 5 more billion, I'm not going to get upset about it. God said, we don't have to worry about all that stuff. We don't have to be concerned about all that nonsense. We need to recognize God said, I want the whole world to know God's truth is real and what he says. He wants people to hear and he wants everybody to hear it. He wants everyone to, he wants Hunter Biden to hear it. I prayed for President Biden this morning. I didn't pray God would bless him. I prayed God would save him, amen. And if God saved him, that'd be the biggest blessing he ever got, amen. God talks about the wealthy. None of them can by any means redeem his brother. Elon Musk can put satellites in outer space. Where's the little... He can't redeem that little girl. Bill Gates could bury this building in $100 bills. But Penny, he can't redeem that little boy right there. Not one child in this building. God said, don't be so upset about the money and all the wealth and all the things that people have. They boast of what they do. They boast of their gain. He said, if their brother was dying, if Elon Musk had a brother, if Bill Gates had a brother, if Trump had a brother, they couldn't redeem him. Hey, we've got the only source of redemption. You may be penniless. You may be broke, amen, as Job's goat. But I'm going to tell you what, buddy. If you know Jesus, you've got everything. Amen. And here, God said he wanted the whole world to know that. He said, I want the rich to hear it. I want the poor to hear it. I want the great to hear it. I want the whole world to hear it. I want the whole populace of the earth to hear it. Amen. You see, God knows that everybody without him is going to hell. God knows that every soul is lost outside of Jesus Christ. There is no hope. Amen. And it's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. If you're a Calvinist, you're a cult. If you're a Calvinist, you've blasphemed the grace of God. You've blasphemed the mercy of God. You've blasphemed the love of God. You've blasphemed the Word of God. And my friend, Calvinism is a lie out of hell. God doesn't want anybody to be lost. He wants the whole world. He wants every people, every tribe, every nation. He wants all men to know. Jesus said, I come for one purpose. That's to seek and save that which is lost. Amen. Amen, amen. He said, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. I don't care what the Catholics say. You can pay the Pope. You can pay the priest. You can pay anybody you want. You can shove more money through that little hole in that wooden wall, amen, than he can carry out on the other side, and you'll still go to hell, and every friend you've got will go to hell that does it. Amen. Elitist religions is a heresy in the Word of God. Calvinism is an elitist religion. Amen. God's no respecter of persons. He's concerned about every human being on the earth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, not just a few, but whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God made a way for you to go to heaven, and if you reject that, you will go to hell. There's no way else but you to go to hell. Amen. Well, preacher, I've done great things. Doesn't matter what you've done. You can't make a ransom for one soul. Matter of fact, you can't make a ransom for the best person. You can't make a ransom for the sweetest person. You can't make a ransom for the kindest person. You can't make a ransom for the most religious, the most righteous, or any other thing. You could never make a ransom for one sinner. Only God can do that. He's the only one that can help us. He's the only one who can take us through the storms of this world. He's the only one who can carry us over the problems and the issues that we have. He's the only one who can be with us at all times. Nobody else can do that. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. God's Son will not leave us nor forsake us. Amen. He sealed us for the day of redemption. Thank God we're His, and He is ours, and we're going to heaven, and part of it belongs to us. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. We're strange people in this world. We believe everybody ought to go to hell. Matter of fact, we believe we ought to go to hell. Matter of fact, we believe we got what we deserve, we would go to hell. But we believe, thank God, we don't have to go to hell because Jesus died and was buried and rose from the dead. And thank God, He tasted death for every man and paid our sin debt. Amen. There's not another religion on the earth that believes what we believe. They believe what they do and what they accomplish and what they give and what they sacrifice and all of that. That has something to do with whether they go to heaven or not. They'll go to hell trusting any of it. They cannot make one penny's worth of redemption for themselves. They can't make one payment on a ransom for their soul. If you're saved, you're richer than Elon Musk has ever been in his whole life. Amen, amen, amen. Thank God for Jesus. And here's what he said. He said, I want the whole world to know this. He said, I want all people to know this. I want everybody on the world planet to know this. I want everybody, rich and poor, great and small, I want everybody to know this. Amen, amen, amen. None of them can by any means. Can by any means. But that destroys 99 9/10% of all religions. Because they're all trusted. That sure takes the Campbellites out of the picture, amen. That wipes out baptismal regeneration for a whole lot of people. I'm going to tell you what, that rips the whole bottom out of Calvinism, amen. I tell you one verse that kills Calvinism. Don't spare the rod, because you apply the rod, you'll save their soul from hell. Yes. That means if you bust their hind end, they get in the great crowd, amen. Right. You get them into the elect by beating their rear ends off. Because if you bust their hind end, you deliver their soul from hell. Yes. That takes the whole bite out of Calvinism, amen. They bound to be a Calvinist here tonight. Just beat the rear end off all your kids, they're automatically in the elect. They can't go to hell at all. Calvinism's a lie. Verse number 8. For the redemption of their soul is precious. The word precious is used through the Word of God as a word we often use as value, like precious stones and precious gold and precious silver. It's used to talk about value. He's saying there's more value in a soul than the whole world together. Amen. If you could gain the whole world and then lose your soul, what would you give in exchange for your soul? You see, a soul is precious to God. It is valuable. It's of great value. Nobody can redeem a soul but God. And that's why He came Himself, amen, on the cross. God's Son was God in the flesh. Elon Musk may be able to shoot some satellites over and help the Ukrainians. But he can't save one little Ukrainian boy. He can't redeem one of them. He can't pay the redemption for one little soul. For the redemption of their soul is precious. God knows if they don't get saved, that soul ceases forever. It will not ever be in heaven. It will not ever be with the children of God, no matter what they do. Verse 9, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. God's got a plan far bigger than anything else. To be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. But even to be absent of the body, be present with the Lord, we don't want to be without a body. We don't want to be naked. And we're waiting on the day that is the redemption of our body, when he'll change this vile body in the likeness of his glorious body. And hallelujah to God, for the first time in your whole life, you will be sinless. And sinless perfection is allowed to hell too, just like the rest of that foolishness is. I talked to a lady one day. She said, I haven't sinned in 15 years. I said, that's a lie. As long as I can write the sin list, I can make myself sinless. Robbing the banks a sin, shooting the presidents a sin. I can make me a list, and I ain't sinless. Every outfit that believes in work salvation has a list. I don't care. Listen, I love you. But I don't care if you're a Methodist, Free Will Baptist, or what you are. If you got a doctrine in your brain that says you're doing anything to get yourself into heaven, you have to have a list. You have to have a list that you can get away with. Because the soul that sinned it shall die. But if God redeems our soul and saves us from hell, we're redeemed forever. Amen. And the rest of this nutty world don't believe that. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Preacher, do you believe Christians sin? It's worse than that, what I believe. Amen. I believe we all sin and come short of the glory of God. We don't just sin, but we come short of His glory. Well, you say, if I believe that, I'd sin all I want. If you love the Lord, you're done sinning more than you want already. It bothers you to have a bad thought. It bothers you to have an unforgiving thought. It bothers you to have a lustful thought. It bothers you to have a condemning thought of someone. All that bothers a Christian if you're saved. Only God can redeem us. We're hopeless without Jesus. We're helpless without Jesus. And we're hell-bound without Jesus. It's Jesus and nothing else. He didn't come to half save us, three-fourths save us, nine-tenths save us. He came to give us eternal life. He said, the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm telling you, the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then the Lord says, you know what? Verse 10, he said, all of them are going to die. For he seeth that the wise die, likewise the fool, the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. He said, look, they all die. Everyone dies. There's a fellow up in our neck of the woods. He was a good man. His name was Chris Klein. He made billions. He was in the he worked his way up and was accomplishing until he was in the Fortune 500 group. That's pretty good. But you might have read in the newspaper a couple summers ago, a couple years ago, he was flying from his island he owned in the Bermudas on the helicopter, and they went under the ocean, and he and his daughters and everyone on it drowned. It didn't matter how much millions he had. I've heard many a coal miner say, I wish I had his money. They don't now. I never hear anybody say it now. I wish I was Chris Klein. I don't hear anybody say it now. He built a lake on his property in West Virginia in the shape of the state. Pretty good. If Elon Musk dies today, you know how much he's going to leave? Every bit of it. We worry about stuff that don't matter. The Lord said, I want everybody to hear this. Everybody's going to die. Rich is going to die, poor are going to die. You're going to die. I may have told you this before, but I enjoy telling it again. Amen. I was listening to the news one morning on the radio, and that's when you could get, and I know it's a liberal news, but that's when you could get, I forget which channel it was on the radio. It was 88.9, I think, on the FM. And you got Good Morning America. Boy, they're liberals, the devil, you know. But I mean, you know, sometime you're up that early in the morning, you got to hear somebody talk. I mean, I can listen to the weather over and over and over, you know, same thing. Just to hear a voice, you know, it's better than nothing. I go to sleep sometime, they go there and turn the weather off, and I'm listening to the weather. I say, it's went over 100 times. I said, but it's, you know, it's the weather, you know. Well, it's the same exact thing over and over. I said, it's all right, I like to listen to it. You might remember it's been several years ago, one of the pandas died in one of the zoos in America, one of the famous pandas. You know, that's the, you know, the baby doll, bear, panda, you know. And at the same time, in about a week's time, in several different zoos in the United States, several exotic, famous animals died. You remember that several years ago? Well, they brought on the national zoologist, and that was, what was those two new, one man, one woman, that was Matt Lauer and Katie Kirk, famous people. Famous people. So they was all upset about them animals. I'd like to meet that zoologist. And Katie said, you don't seem to be bothered at all. He said, I'm not. And Matt Lauer said, we don't understand that. He said, it's because you don't understand life. He said, let me tell you something. Every animal in every zoo is going to die. And he said, let me tell you something, Matt, you're going to die. And Katie, you're going to die. And until y'all get it down pat and figure that out, you're going to be the mess you are this morning, amen. And no, it don't bother me one bit. There was more animals died, he said, in the jungle yesterday than in every zoo in the world. He said, you got to understand death's a real part of this thing. I don't know if he's saved or lost, but I believe he'd be a good candidate to win. But they're living like they ain't going to die. What the Bible says. He says, like the rich, all of them going to be the same. The fool, the wise, the brutish, everybody. The big football player. The big baseball player that they pay millions of dollars. You know what? They're going to die. I know when I was young, I heard people say, I heard girls say they'd like to look like Marilyn Monroe. Ain't nobody like to look like her now. Isn't that funny? Nobody wants to be like them after they die. Because you know what? They're all going to die. All going to die. And the Lord says, here's what he says. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Elvis never visits Graceland. I don't care how spooky they tell it. He ain't never there. And he ain't gonna ever be there. It says, they think their house is going to continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. We've hunted out west on ranches named after the family owners, and we've hunted on some that all the family owners did. Somebody else owns it, but still got that name. They don't hunt there no more. You can go out there and find a cemetery and their name's on a rock somewhere. It doesn't matter if it had $100 billion or 50 cents. Their name's carved on a stone. And you may not even get that much. Your name might even be never carved on a stone. The Lord said, I want the whole world to know they're headed for death. And they cannot redeem themselves. And they cannot pay a ransom for themselves. Nothing. He says, not anything they can do. So they can't join the church and pay a ransom. They can't pay tithes and pay a ransom. They can't be faithful to Sunday school and pay a ransom. They can't be good to the preacher and pay a ransom. They can't do anything to pay a ransom. Nothing they could ever do. Doesn't matter what they have. They cannot do anything. When a person finds out there's no other way but Jesus, they'll look for Jesus. But as long as they're deceived by some lying religion, they'll try to get there by some other way. He said they're going to call their property by their own name. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. Doesn't matter how many awards he's had, how many trophies he's been given. Doesn't matter how many degrees he's got. Doesn't matter. Don't make a bit of difference. He says he is like the beast that perish. He'll die just like the dog out there on the street. Now he has an eternal soul, the dog don't. But he's gonna die. This their way is their folly. Yet their posterity approved their sayings. Selah. He said their kids do the same thing. I tell you what you better do. You better tell your kids you're going to die. I grew up with the understanding of death. My mother died when I was 8 years old. And I've told this before. But I'd help her pull the... She was so sickly. She couldn't pull the... You know the old wash tub, the rinse tub, and you run through the wringer? You ever do that? You're blessed. But she is so weak she couldn't pull them wet clothes out of that rinse tub. I'd help her pull them up out. Get them into the wringer. Get them wrung out. She said, Johnny, if I fall over here on the floor, you just run up to Aunt Pearl's house and say, Mommy just went to heaven.
Amen.
And she'll know what to do. Sure. You know, I knew death was real. And I knew there's a heaven, and I knew there's a hell, and I knew I never wanted to go to hell, and I knew I did want to go to heaven. And thank God, amen, if we don't get that into our children's hearts, I'll tell you, many of them are going to go to hell thinking foolishness. You don't hide your family from death. Death's part of the Word of God. Death's part of life. We don't like it. We don't even like it when the dog gets run over the car. But it happens. And we got to be ready according to God's word. Because we don't know when we're going to die. Young people may die before I do. We don't know who's going to die next. Princess Diane, she was famous, wasn't she? She died just like a drunk. Just like a drunk person.
Yes, sir.
Car accident. At that time, she was one of the most famous women in the world. Yes. Not just in England, but the whole world. Yes. Millions of girls modeled herself after her. But she got wrapped up in that car, and she didn't live. She was dead when they took her out. You see, we've got to understand God is right.
Yes, he is.
And what he says will work in that book.
Exactly right.
And you better prepare to leave this world.
Very
good. And there's no one can redeem you but Jesus.
Amen.
There's no one can pay the ransom for your soul but Jesus. It's not found in any other place. Doesn't matter how smart, how stupid, how rich, how poor, how famous, unfamous. It don't make no difference. He says, like sheep they're laid in the grave, death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. There's coming another sunrise. Weeping may endure for the night. Joy cometh in the morning. My dad was lost when my mother died. And I remember being out in the yard, hanging to an old fence post, crying my eyes out. My daddy lost. He come out and wrapped his arm around me. He said, your mommy's in heaven. Your mommy's with the Lord. She's up there with the Lord. Look at those stars, he said. Look at all them stars. She's up there somewhere with God. We've come to an age, my friend, that even saved people have less confidence in God than that. Or supposedly saved people. Death is the exit ramp. You ever been on the highway? It says, exit such and such, 2 miles. And you say, praise the Lord. We're about there. Ever done that? I used to work out of town a whole lot. And worked up in Lewisburg and White Silver Springs area, 75 miles, 80 miles, 90 miles away. And I always remembered coming down 64 and it said Eisenhower Drive exit. I said, praise God. Won't be long now. Brother, one of these days, for me, you, and all the rest of us, it won't be long now. And Brother Larry was talking yesterday. I may check out before you do. But we're on the exit ramp. We done pulled off on the exit ramp. We ain't got to the bottom of it. But we're on it. Hey, we 310 passed. We're over the hill, amen. There's no need in playing games about that. We're down the slicky slide. But death's the exit ramp. It's the home. We're going home.
Yes.
We're about to make the home turn.
Yes, sir.
And the Holy Ghost will come on the GPS and says, hang on a minute. I'm fixing to pick you up. I thought we was going to the bottom of the ramp. No, he said, you're going up. God wants everybody to understand life and death. And he wants everybody to know there is no redemption except in God. Let me give you a couple things. I'm going to close. Verse 15, he says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Brother Pope, Job said he's going to call my name and I'll answer. Brother Biddle died at our house. Actually, not at our house, but at our meeting. They called me that morning. And they said, Brother Biddle hadn't left yet. He preached the strangest message the night before. Me and him walked through the fellowship hall that afternoon. He said, I miss my wife.
Yes.
He said, I miss her. I know she's up there in heaven. I miss her real bad. But that night he preached. He told about things in his family. All sorts of things. I never heard him preach like that. He always goes straight to bed when he got his car muddy. Brother Dave met us and said, I'll take your car to the car wash and wash it. He said, I'll just go with you. He said, no, Brother Bill, you go on to bed. He said, no, I want to talk. And he went up and washed the car, put it through the automatic thing. He wiped it off and got it all clean. And he come down. He said, Brother Bill, you get. He said, no, come in, Dave. He said, let's talk. Brother Bill never done that. He said, they talked after midnight. They called me the next morning and said, Brother Bill ain't left. Brother Bill has stayed at my home many times. He slept on his hand. I've gone to the bedroom many times. He slept on that one hand. He slept on this side. And he always had that leg turned like that right there. I'd go in there and talk to him. There he got that hand right there. That's how he slept. So I picked the lock and I went in there. He laid just exactly like I'd seen him before. And if I hadn't have known, I'd have thought, he's asleep. But he got on an exit ramp. And God said, you're down at the bottom of the ramp. I'll just take you on out of here. He said, I want everybody to know. He said, I want the rich to know, the poor to know, the high to know, the low to know. He said, I want the whole world to know. There's no redemption except in me. But the psalmist said, but God will redeem my soul. One of these days, we'll see him again. I was standing at the coffin of my mom. The coffin was open. I was a little fella, still a little fella. One of my aunts come up and picked me up so I could look down there. 8 years old. She said, you'll see her again, son. You'll see her again. I stood by my wife's casket, put my hand on the casket because of the COVID. The casket couldn't be opened. It didn't matter. But many times in my heart, I would say, I'll see you again. I'll see you again. We better be real about life. We better be real about death. And we better be real about eternity. And God is doing everything to get us ready for it. And the world has turned a blind eye to it. And they're not listening. Young person, listen. He said, hear. He said, hear, all people. He said, give ear to it. Pay attention. I'll close. I don't know of another message in the Bible like it. I mean, there's many messages like it. But it's written just like it is. You don't even have to outline it. It's just right there in the book. He said, I want everybody to know it. Everybody. Everybody. If you're not saved, if I wasn't saved, I'd run to Jesus. I'd just say, oh, Lord, I want to be ready. I want to be ready to meet you. None of us know what tomorrow holds. Your life's like a vapor, appear for a little time and it vanishes away. I remember my mother was 34. Had a dear old man of God lived on the street coming across before you got to the river where we crossed and come to our place. He was such a soul winner, such a witness. He'd hitchhike. He had a car, but he'd hitchhike. So when the person picked him up, he witnessed to him. There was nowhere to go toward our place. It was a dead end. But when we come down the alley, he'd of course, Dad pick him up. He started witnessing, as he had many, many times before. I'd heard him witness many times. He started witnessing to my mommy. Before we got to the railroad crossing, Josh, mommy said, I want to be saved. My dad was under conviction. He jumped out of the car, left it sitting in the road, and run down the railroad track. My mama got saved. No one knew that God was going to take her home at 34. But God knew. God knew. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Sissy, we don't know. Don't know, son, but we know one thing. God can get you ready to go.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way but Jesus. There's no truth but Jesus. There's no life but Jesus. Let's pray. Father, in the sweet name of Jesus, I'm sure
in my soul. I preached what you wanted me to preach as best I knew how. I thank you for the Holy Ghost who carries the Word of God into souls. Lord, we've only got one trip through here. Don't let anybody miss getting saved. Touch their soul. I know you don't force them to be saved. Touch their soul, open their heart, let them see their need. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you, conquered death. You gave us victory in your name. Thank you for it. Lord, have your will in this invitation. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. We're just going to have a moment. The pastor's going to come. The service will change somewhat. I wouldn't wait for the second preacher if I was lost. I'd just run to Jesus. I'd run to Jesus. We're right there in the middle of the Old Testament. He's talking about redemption and ransom for your soul. God's never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Every soul that's ever been saved got saved by grace. Nobody worked their way in. Nobody earned their way in. Nobody bought their way in. And if you get saved, you'll have to come to Jesus. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. There's no rest outside of Jesus.